Jack carefully opened the door. He tiptoed onward, seeing a single, motionless shadow thrown on the wall of the room.
So what the fuck do I care? Plenty of doomies on the beach. And fish in the ocean. Ocean of crimson. Scarlet. Red. Blood red ocean. Ah, yes, red is the color of my true love's blood. Go down, you blood red roses. The old song.
Jack saw Sharp standing there, his back to him, wearing a white robe that was streaked with blood. And there was a body lying on the floor at his feet.
Emma?
The Baron swung around, his right hand falling to the butt of his Ruger. And Jack saw that the crumpled front of his robe was totally sodden with blood. Emma was lying still on her back, her arms spread wide, her golden eyes already vacant.
Ah, white hair. See that your friend here is in a trance. She's been telling me such truths about living and partly living. You sick fuck!
For a moment, Jack wished that he had taken back his own blaster from Ryan when he'd had the chance.
Sick, murderous fuck!
Baron Sharp was backing toward the glass wall of the container behind him, with its simulated desert landscape. Jack watched the two images of the man, one facing him, the other retreating in the mirrored glass. The Baron's hand still rested on the butt of the Ruger, but the Baron hadn't drawn it. His milky blue eyes were looking at Jack, as though he were someone that Sharp recognized from some previous incarnation.
Oh yes, I think... Your name is Jack, isn't it? I know you well, I think.
You killed Emma?
No. She was dead when I found her.
Liar.
I am the Baron of this ville. I am Sean Sharp. No Outlander child comes in here and calls me a liar.
Liar?
Yes. I hear what? He will be. I will punish him myself. Yes, I will.
She was innocent. I meant nobody any harm. There's no reason to chill her.
Hear my silver tongue, boy. Die, mutie!
The Baron's mouth was wide open in a smile of purest pleasure. Jack's fingers closed on the taped hilt of one of his delicate throwing knives. The spinning knife pinned Sharp's tongue to the roof of his mouth, shining silver between his teeth, the point driving upward. The Baron staggered sideways. His gun swung aimlessly around the room, and his finger tightened spasmodically on the trigger. The .357 round struck a roof pillar and ricocheted back down and behind Sharp, smashing the center of the thick glass wall of the container at his back, which collapsed in a tumbling river of shards of mirrored glass. The weapon dropped. The Baron stumbled 3 paces away from Jack. His hips were just above the level of the bottom of the broken cage, and he simply fell backward. As he fell, his hands went to his mouth as he tried to remove the knife. His eyes were wide with horror as he realized where he was, and he kicked his legs helplessly in the air, the bloodied robe riding up to expose his bare flesh.
This is hot! This is hot!
The sand erupted in the spray as the man flailed and thrashed, trying to recover his balance and get out of the container that held the mysterious beast. Ryan appeared behind Jack in the doorway, with JB close at his heels. When Doc arrived, all 4 of them stood frozen and watched.
Dark night. I never saw anything like that before.
JB took off his glasses and wiped them on his sleeve.
And I don't think I ever want to again.
Ryan stooped to check on Emma.
He killed her.
Yeah.
I am truly sorry.
Doc laid a hand on the teenager's shoulder.
She was a good person whom God had given a dreadful burden to carry through life.
We best get out of here. You want to take her body along with us, Jack? We can probably give her a decent burying someplace.
No. Thanks, Ryan. But Emma's gone. What's left? It's like a suit of clothes.
Come on, then.
They went quickly to the back door and left the ville without encountering any kind of threat. Though there were lights blazing everywhere, not a single shot was fired. Dean, Christy, and Mildred were waiting to greet them as they came out into the cool air of Washington Hole.
What happened, Dad?
It's a long story, son. The telling will have to wait. Best we get back to the redoubt right away.
The companions traveled quickly and safely back to the corpse-filled redoubt, skirting a nameless pest hole, as well as the shantytown called Green Hill, reaching the ancient complex near dawn. The air was unusually clear, and they stood grouped together, looking across at the gigantic crater of fused black glass that was all that remained of the old pre-dark capital of the United States of America.
Rat count's still high, up in the yellow band.
Mine shows close to orange. Maybe the next jump will take us someplace away from a high rat count.
It would be great if it took us clear out of Deathlands. All this shooting and dying is damn depressing.
The only time that happened was when we became transported to Russia, and I cannot say that was one of the happiest experiences of my life.
Least we all got away safe from the big hole.
Dean realized immediately what he'd said, and he looked quickly across to Jack.
Hey, I'm real sorry about saying something that was so triple stoop. I didn't...
It's okay. Guess losing's something you sort of get used to. Wasn't like with Christina and Jenny. Hot deep. But I'm still sorry. Emma was... We could've... You know.
The sense of damage was more clear-cut within the redoubt. The cracks seemed wider, the dust thicker. The scent of old death lay more heavily in the nostrils and on the senses, an awareness of the futility that had been life in the last years before the nuke cost. Duck pointed with his sword stick at a slashed piece of graffiti carved into the plaster on the wall.
Living is mistakes not made. I wonder whether our dear old companion Trader might not have passed this way at some time.
Could be. Sounds like him.
You think that we'll ever meet up with Trader again, Dad?
Ryan flicked dust from his son's hair.
Who knows? All things are possible, aren't they?
As they drew closer to the entrance to the gateway, Jack suddenly stopped.
What is it, Jack?
Blood on the floor.
He pointed to a small cluster of black spots and touched them with his forefinger.
Not fresh, but only days old, not years.
None of us had any injuries.
Ryan stooped and examined the marks.
Yeah, you're right, Jack.
From the shape, you can tell which way they're moving.
Jack pointed ahead of them, along the corridor, toward the Matrans unit itself.
Person bleeding was walking that way. Dust's too messed up to tell more. Mostly our old tracks.
As they rounded the bend, JB, who was leading, held up his hand in warning.
Sector's open. We closed it.
Are you sure, John?
Mildred looked at JB, who simply nodded.
Yeah, I guess we did. We always do.
Condition red.
Everyone had already drawn their weapons. There was more blood on the green handle, smeared in a blurred handprint on the concrete wall at the side.
Woman or child? Small.
The fact that the bloodstain was days old meant it was probably safe, but Ryan hadn't lived as long as he had by taking foolish chances.
I'll go in with JB and Jack. The rest of you wait here. It won't take long.
It took less than 5 minutes. The control room and the small anteroom were all empty, and they could see through the sky-blue armaglass that the gateway chamber itself was clearly devoid of life. But they found something. JB spotted it, rolled under one of the desks near the entrance through to the chamber.
Look at this.
They all gathered around him as he bent and picked the object up. He laid it on the control console. It was a helmet of archaic design, mounted with a carved bronze moon.
Samurai. That was the one worn by the fellow who had the bow and arrow. I recognize that lunar design on top of it.
Looks like the shot found its target, Doc. There's more blood around the side of it, and the throat strap's been cut. See the ragged ends? One of the pieces of buckshot from the Lama must have done that.
He was wounded and managed to get this far back. Then he must have jumped, Dad.
Right, Dean. I spotted more congealed blood on the handle of the Matrans chamber.
They stood in a silent circle,